good to be in the house of the Lord the first day of January, huh? First Sunday of January, isn't it? You know, I gotta tell you, I've realized a couple things, and one of the things I've realized is that I'm getting older. Anybody with me in this? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? So here's what I realized. Yesterday, we did a youth fundraiser. Youth fundraiser, okay? Understand, I was out there with these guys, and we did a bottle drive. And I've realized I don't have the energy anymore. It's just not quite where it once was. But thank you for all of those that contributed yesterday, and for those that came out and that helped, those that gave us your bottles. We did a 3.5-4 hour bottle drive, and we raised, wherever our drummer is, we raised $903 in bottles. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So, and by the way, thank you for all of you who blessed us in so many ways, the staff, with gifts and with all sorts of stuff. Thank you so much. It really honestly means a lot. You know what I really love is I love the cards. I love the gifts. Gifts, don't get me wrong. You can give us gifts. We're good with gifts. But I love just the cards that simply say little words of what God's done in your life and how you appreciate what God's been doing. It means a lot to us. So thank you so much. And we wanna look forward to what God has for us this coming year. Well, speaking about this coming year, before the end of the year, I had to go see a doctor. And, you know, you do one of these, I had to get a new doctor and stuff. And I realized something. My eyes aren't what they used to be. Anybody with me? Right? So I had to see a doctor for my class 2 medical examination, which, to be honest with you, I think is quite the joke. Okay, so they bring you in, they do the blood pressure thing, and they check my heart, and then they get me to read this chart, and then they charge me like $150,000, whatever it was, $170, and I'm thinking, for what, right? But there's this chart they get me to read, and you know, folks, honestly, they're making those letters smaller and smaller. I kid you not. And so I cheated. I know this is really bad. So you're supposed to cover one eye. So I couldn't see it with just the one eye. So while the doctor wasn't looking, I looked real quickly. I got it. And then I went. So I've got 20/20 vision. Hallelujah. I cheated a bit, but I do have 20/20 vision. So you know, there's a problem when it comes to our vision slowly going. But there's a real problem when our personal vision goes. Like, I'm not talking about this, but our vision for life. And our vision for the church. And if that's not where it once was, and if we lost it, we got an issue. You hear me? There is a real big problem with that. So, you know, I thought about 2020. And what an awesome opportunity to look at the first Sunday at this year to get 2020 vision. You hearing me? Not just sight-wise, but as a church, that we have pure, clear vision for the coming year. So what we decided to do this year is we decided to have a vision statement for 2020, and that's simply, we want to become a healthier church. Can we do that? Can we work on that? Let's work on how can we become a healthier church, and I want to talk to you about that this morning. By the way, thanks again for allowing us to go away for a week. As you can see, I'm wearing my Mexican garb this morning. I don't have much of the suntan. My goal is to look like some of you folks that are from some of the African countries and so forth. I probably won't get there, but I'm looking pretty good, okay? Right? Okay. Why don't we pray? Oh, wow, Lord. God, thank you for today. Thank you that we can start this year in your house as a family and focus on how good you are, what you've done for us in 2019, and looking with anticipation for what you have for us for this coming year. And Lord, as we take some time to look into your word this morning, I pray, would you guide us? Would you help us to be hearers, but also to be responsive to what we hear so we would apply it? And God, that we would be stronger in our faith because of who you are and because of what you're doing in us. We ask in your name. Amen. So when it comes to 2020 vision, so we want to become a healthier church. We got to have a plan. We got to have start with a plan and becoming a healthier church. And you know what I thought about is, I'm thinking most of you have set some sort of New Year's resolution. Maybe some of you haven't. But you know what I find interesting is every year in January, when I go back to the gym, it's packed. Tyler, you know what I'm talking about, right? You go back to the gym and it's like, and there's all sorts of people there and they're all ready to go. So I thought, you know what we're going to do this morning, folks? I thought I'm going to get you to stand. So would you stand with me for just a minute? Let's start off 2020 right, okay? No, everybody's got to stand. You can do this. I know you can stand, okay? And I thought what we're going to do is just do a little bit of stretch. Just kind of stretch your arms back a little bit. Just, you know, kind of stretch. Maybe stretch up for a minute. That's good. Yeah, we're all this. And let's just have a little bit of fun here with Richard Simmons. Come on, here we go. There should be sound with this. Here we go. You can do this. Come on. Here we go. Okay, that's all you got. You can sit. If I get complaints about that, just talk to Pastor Les. He'll be my filter. I was actually thinking of getting Jules up here, but I don't see her this morning and doing a little bit of beach body. But anyway, we need to start, folks, by being a healthier church. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says this: physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promises for both the present life and the life to come. Listen, it's important as a church, all jokes aside, that we remain physically healthy and strong. Are you hearing me? That we are taking care of this body that God has given us. We need to take care of it because the scriptures tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, that this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God has entrusted this to us, and we need to take care of it. And I often joke about, and you've heard me say this before, about people that smoke. And I'm just, I know, I have a very vivid imagination. I just imagine the Holy Spirit going, you know. We need to take care of the body that God has given us. And can I encourage you, it doesn't take a lot to take care of your body. You don't have to join a gym. You can do very simple things to make sure that you're taking care of. There's a guy by the name of Jahani Tolbert. I probably butchered that. He's a fitness advocate. And what he says is that simple things that he does at home, he doesn't go to a gym. He works out he steps on a toolbox, up and down on a toolbox. He lifts cans. I don't know how big these cans are, but he keeps healthy. I just want to encourage you, stay healthy. Stay healthy. I'm just throwing that in here from the very start. Stay healthy this year. Make it a point. So, because I don't like doing funerals. And the truth is, we're all going to go face our maker one day, but let's do it in a way that is healthy. But back to 1 Timothy. It says that godliness, that we need to train ourselves to be godly. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. You get that? There's got to be a training involved in remaining godly before the Lord. You got to work on it. It's not something that comes natural. Listen, going to an exercise and doing all that stuff doesn't come natural either. You gotta almost force yourself to do it. But when it comes to your relationship with Jesus, it's gonna take work. And I'm not gonna sugarcoat this. It's gonna take work this year to be a healthier church, to be healthier as individuals. It's not gonna be easy at times, and we're gonna have some expectations from you. But I can tell you this, the more we train, the more we prepare ourselves, the stronger we get, the better we become in our relationship with the Lord. So what are some of the pieces that are involved, or for those that are beach body people, the blocks of work that are involved to be healthy when it comes to our relationship with the Lord? And I think it's got to start, that's the wrong slide. I think it's the pieces that we got to start with, it's got to start, first of all, with praying. Someone has said, many people pray as if God were a big aspirin pill. They come only when it hurts. Isn't that true? They come only to God when it hurts. And that's not the way it should be. It shouldn't be us coming to God just when things aren't going well. If you remember what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, what? Pray what? Pray continually. It means having an open dialogue with God at all times. Having a relationship with God at all times, communicating with Him at all times. Can I state the obvious here this morning, folks? You're in a battle. Like we really need to come to terms with this fact. We are in a battle. And we can't try to hide that or try to hide in the corners or in the shadows and think, oh, it'll just pass me by. It's not going to pass you by. As believers, we're in a fight, and we've got to prepare ourselves for this battle. And you got to receive communication from headquarters. You got to be hearing from God. What does He want from you? How are you going to be able to make it? See, I find it very interesting that in many ways, we as believers, we don't take the time with the Lord in prayer as we should. And I find that very, very sad because Jesus Himself knew the importance of prayer. We find in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, very early in the morning, He would go out while it was still dark and He would go and pray. Now, let me tell you, if Jesus needed that, don't you think we need that as well? Yeah, amen? Are you with me? I think if Jesus knew the importance of spending time with His Father on a regular basis before anything else, He would go out and spend time with God. I think we need to do that as well. So see, here's the thing. I'm praying, honestly, for prayer. I'm praying. We've got opportunities this year to engage in prayer. You know, we've got our pre-service prayer here, and I can't stress how important that is. Coming into the service before all of this, before Steve or anybody else gets up and leads us in worship, we're preparing ourselves and saying, God, I got junk I got to put aside here. And we say, God, I just want to spend some time with You. Pre-service prayer is so important, but that's just one of the many things that we need to engage in. This week, I'm looking forward to this week of prayer, to getting together and just saying, God, this year, we're not going to make it if we don't have You. We're just not going to make it. We're going to have challenges. We're going to have frustrations. We're going to have all sorts of stuff. And if we don't have You, it's going to be a hard year. Come to pre-service prayer. Come to prayer week. We got different things coming up. We've got, we're looking into doing prayer walks and different opportunities to pray. But can I say the most important is, I mean, this is all important, but is how are you doing in your prayer closet? How are you doing in your war room at home? It's interesting. You know, somebody sent me a video last week, it's all a blur, Christmas, New Year's, you know. But somebody sent me a video, and it was two pastors talking, and they were talking about spending time with God and actually spending time in the book, in reading His Word. And the one pastor said, you know, people that come to church on a Sunday and they get the Word, it's good. But it doesn't make a big difference for the rest of the week. Hate to tell you this. I'm not making a big difference in your life if that's all you're depending on. What happens here? It's not enough. He says people that take and they read the Bible one time a week, it doesn't make a big difference either. He says twice a week it starts to make an impact. But when it comes to three and four times a week, it spikes. The relationship with God spikes and they begin to experience things from God just by taking three or four or five times a week. I would encourage seven times, but taking some time in the book and spending time in your personal prayer closet, whatever that looks like for you, time with you and God and saying, God, I just need You. Folks, I don't want to underemphasize prayer. I know this is obvious stuff. It's no rocket science here. But here's my vision for 2020 when it comes to prayer. My vision is that pre-service prayer here will be pre-service prayer. that we're going to have people here. I like to see by the end of this year having at least 50 to 75 people on their seats or on their knees or walking around, whatever you feel most comfortable, but seeking God. Because like Pastor Les said earlier, this church or any church will not move forward unless we're praying. Are you hearing me? We will not move forward unless we're seeking God. If we're trying to do it on our own strength, forget it. Then we just become a club. We need to be praying. So my vision is to see prayer lifted up. My second thing I want to see when it comes to the pieces to moving forward is that we need to be progressing. We need to be progressing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. I love that. Grow, develop, move forward in the grace. Move forward in the understanding of God's goodness to us, his kindness to us. Grow in that understanding. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want us to know Jesus better. I really, really, really want us to know Jesus better. And someone said, the Christian life is like riding a bicycle. Unless you keep moving, you fall off. Right? You ever try riding a bike without moving? Unless we're moving in our understanding, our relationship with Jesus, we're going to fall off. So here's my challenge to you today. I challenge you to go home today, to grab a piece of paper, grab your phone, however you keep notes, your journal, whatever it is, and write down where you at right now in your relationship with Jesus. Be honest between you and God. How is it going? On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at? 10 meaning you're in the heavenlies. Number 1 means, man, you're right there beside the worst sinner on the planet. Where are you at? And write it down. And I challenge you with this. I challenge you to make it a goal by the end of this year to move up at least 2 points. You could do that in your relationship with Christ, to have a deeper, more intimate relationship. That's going to take work. Listen, if we want a better marriage, we got to be taking time together and communicating and spending time and doing things together. If we're not, a marriage won't get, it just won't get better. Any relationship, why do we think it's going to be any different than with the Lord? Take time with Jesus this year and move up. So grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But not just growing in our knowledge, growing in applying that knowledge. James chapter 2, verse 26 says this, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith, what? What's it say? Faith without deeds is what? James 2:20, read it. Faith. Is what? Faith without deeds is useless. That's pretty strong language, don't you think? It's not my language, though. It's not my language. It's the language of Christ. So let me ask you, how are you exercising your faith? Where are you putting your faith into practice? How are you walking it out? How are you developing your relationship with the Lord Jesus and walking and practically doing things for him? That when he's talking to you, and he does, we just got to be listening, that we're being obedient and saying, hey, God, what do you want from me? And you know what? I challenge you with that and say, God, what do you want from me? And then just shut up and listen. What do you want from me, God? Do that in your devotional time and let him talk to you and then be obedient. Walk it out. Walk it out. It might be big things. It might be just a little thing. But walk it out, because as we walk it, our faith becomes stronger and we're able to walk more stronger, just like an exercise. Now we begin to develop those spiritual muscles and we can move greater weights and so forth for the kingdom of God. My desire, listen, folks, my desire for this year is that we're a progressing church. I can't measure that. I can't measure that in your life. And maybe you can't either, but maybe you can just look at where you're at today and where do you want to be by the end of this year and strive for that. Strive in your growth and in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Third block I want us to see is I want us this year to see a church that is a providing church, a giving church, a church that gives of its time, of its talents, of its treasures. I love what Jesus said. in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. He said this, "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For," listen, "for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Again, I am so thankful for how we were blessed during the Christmas season. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that very, very much. Can I encourage you, don't stop. I mean, not for us, but don't stop giving and blessing the kingdom of God. Don't stop doing things for his kingdom. In this instance, in this scripture, Jesus was talking about, in that time, there's a lot of poor in the community. They had very little or no hope outside of handouts. There was no social services and social network and all that stuff. It was people. It was the church. And Jesus says, listen, you got to give. You got to give. And I love the picture, and they would have understood it at that time. He says, give a good measure. It's like a jar that is full to the top with grain. And it's full so much, it's just pouring out over top. He says, have that kind of attitude of giving. I love the picture. If you go to the book of Ruth, you remember Ruth and Boaz? Ruth is out in the fields, and she's picking grain. She's trying to feed her mother-in-law and trying to feed herself, and they left some stalks standing there, and she's picking the little bit that's left and trying to take care of herself. And Boaz, he sees her, and he likes what he sees, right? And you know the story. If you don't, you should read it. It's a great book, great book. And so what does he do? He goes over to her, and he says, so I see you're picking grain. This is the Wesleyan version, okay? I see you're picking grain. Yes, I am. You know, let me give you a little bit. And he takes and he pours it into her apron. And it pours so much, he's like almost not able to hold it. That's the picture that's here. He says, give, and it will be given to you. Pour it out. Pour it out. Like, we can be very stingy, can't we? We pull out our I don't have my wallet. We pull out our wallet and we look. I've got this bill and I want to go to watch that movie. Star Wars just came out. I got to see that. And then I need popcorn we drop a little bit in the offering plate or whatever. Or you know what? My time is so valuable. I can't really give time for that. I'll give them a half hour. That's all I can give. And then we go home and watch 3 hours of movies or some stupid thing like that. Listen, can we be a giving church? A giving church, not just financially, but giving in everything you do. See, here's what I believe. I believe that if we are generous, we will be treated generously. And that's not really my words. That's actually God's word. 2 Corinthians, you know this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Whoever sows what? Sparingly will also reap sparingly. I mean, that's so obvious. You go out in the field and you put one seed here and one there and one way down there. You're not going to get a whole lot of crop. Why do we think it's any different when we are doing this for the kingdom? That we think, well, we just give a little bit. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man, each woman should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. I'm not here to beat you up, but God loves a cheerful giver. And if you want God's blessing, man, if you want God to pour it out, then you got to be pouring it out. We have to be poor. I'm not just talking financially. I'm talking giving unto the Lord, whatever it is, whatever he asks of us. God, help me to be generous in my time. Help me be generous in everything that I do. Thank you, my dear. Others can say amen beside my wife. That's okay. That's okay. You know what I love to see for 2020? You know what I would love to see when it comes to this? That we wouldn't have to put a chart up like Steve put up earlier. That in December that we were 3 months under budget. I just hate that. I hate talking about money. I just want you to know that. But I also hate it when we are not engaged in the community the way God wants us to be. And we're not sowing in. Man, I would love to see this church so involved in our community, so engaged in and reaching out that we'd be so generous that it would blow people out of the water. I would love to see us, when we're looking at the women's shelter that we're involved in over there, they would be so overwhelmed how much that we are caring for them, that our missionaries would look back at Spa Church and say, we love that church because we know they're praying for us, they're supporting us, they're there behind us, that we are engaged in that. That the involvement at Cedar Gardens or the involvement at, and I want to take our youth to First Nations and do some involvement over on a reserve, and all of the stuff we can do for the kingdom, that we would be standing back and go, wow, God, you've used the little that we have. And we made a big impact. We need to be giving. We need to be a church that's performing. And I don't mean being up here and doing a jig. But I would pay to see some of you up here doing a little jig. That would be really fun. Maybe that's how we can raise some tithes and stuff like that. But what I mean is carrying out, performing the responsibilities that God has given you to do. A couple of years ago, the leadership team sat down and we said, you know what, we want to encourage our people to understand a little bit about our involvement in the church. And we came up with this verse from Philippians chapter 1, verse 4. It says verse 4 and 5, it's just verse 4. It says this, I will always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. And the realization was, we need to understand that anybody can be a member. I am a member at the library in town. Okay, I have a membership card, and you know, I looked for it this morning, actually, and I couldn't find it. Shows you how much I go to the library. But you know what I do with that card is I walk into the library, and I put it down, and they give me something. It's usually a book, okay? That's always what it is, actually, unless they gave me a bill because I didn't bring back my last book. But they give me something. I was a partner quite a number of years ago, with a couple of guys. There's about four or five, maybe more of us, maybe seven of us, and we partnered together to build a duplex. It wasn't a duplex, it was a, whatever, it was a building, anyways, in Hope. So we pooled our money together, and now what did they expect from me? They expected me to give their money, they expected me to give my time, they expected me to be involved, and as I partnered together with these guys, we built this thing, and thank you very much, we walked away, and we made a profit. It was wonderful, right? There's a big difference between being someone that just has membership and someone that has a partnership. And I know for some it's just semantics, but let me tell you, I think there's a big difference. I think the difference is the difference of investing and being part of a dynamic, a moving organism, working together to make this thing go forward, or just receiving the blessings from church or whatever it may be. Folks, God has called us to perform our ministries together, to work together, to serve together, to perform our duties. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12 and 13. He says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Paul is saying, look, I see what you're doing. I see how you're working together. You're working hard together. You're being an example to others. And as you're being an example, people are going, man, I want part of that. I want to be part of that community. I see there's a love there, and there's a concern there for one another, because people are working together to build this thing. And I want us to be working together to build this thing. You know, you can say amen once in a while. That's okay. I'm okay with that. We need to be working together to move the church forward, because I tell you, Pastor Les can't do it on his own. I put a lot of weight on him, but honestly, he can't do it on his own. Nor can I, nor can the board, nor can the leaders. It's got to be all of us. So where are you performing your work? Where are you performing your ministry? You know what my vision is for 2020? Maybe this is a lofty vision, but my vision would be that every one of you would be involved in some sort of ministry in this church. and through this church, and not just in this church. Hear me out. Because it's not just about making this place look good. It's about taking the message of hope into the community around us. Because they need what you got. They need what you got. Thank him, dear. You can all say amen once in a while. We need to perform the work of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Do I have it? Yes, there it is. Serve one another in love. Serve each other. Serve each other. Serve your community. Be engaged in what God has called us to do. Pastor Les gave me a little quote. I love it. I didn't put it up here, but I love it. I can give it to you later. It says this: the church is not primarily a gathering place. It is primarily a sending agency. It is a serving movement. Did you get that? The church is not primarily a gathering place. It is primarily a sending agency. It is a serving movement. So let me ask you, how are you serving? How are you doing in your service? Because God is not interested in people filling pews. He's interested in people filling his kingdom with the lost. He's interested in us going and doing what we can. I just read a great book. It's called Thank God It's Monday. Great book. Strongly recommend it. And what he says in this book, and I'll be referring to this again in the future, but he talks about the fact that we should be excited about going to work on a Monday. How many of you are excited about going to work tomorrow morning? Hallelujah! I'm excited about going to work tomorrow morning because tomorrow morning I'll be preparing my sermon for next Sunday. But I'm hoping that your work tomorrow is an opportunity for you to be salt and light in your community. Because here's what's going to happen tomorrow morning. You're going to run into someone you're going to say, hey, how was your week? Or how was Christmas? How was New Year's? Oh, yeah, it was okay, but whatever it is. I've spent too much money. My girlfriend ran off on me. Whatever it is, there's going to be challenges. And you have an opportunity to be Jesus. Or at least to be the hands of Christ in that opportunity. Well, what a great place to be. What a great opportunity that God has put you in your place of work. That God has put you in that building that you're living in. That neighbor next door to you who sometimes drives you crazy. You have an opportunity of investing in them for the kingdom. It doesn't have to be something extravagant where you take it out and you're talking four spiritual laws with them or whatever, but maybe all they need is a listening ear. Perform your work, your ministry, folks. Perform it. Pursue the... Lastly, I want us to encourage to pursue. Let me get on to this. Pursue, reach. We want to be a reaching church. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says this: therefore, go and what? Make disciples of all nations. You know, I find it amazing some of the parables Jesus told. And I talked about this a few weeks back. The shepherd that leaves the 99 is perplexing to me. That shepherd that leaves the 99 because there's one lost lamb. I'm thinking, man, let the wolves have them. Like, seriously, I got 99 here. Who's going to miss one? He's probably sick. He's probably stupid. I mean, like seriously, why in the world would he be not following me? The guy deserves to be eaten by the wolves. We got other issues to deal with. Leave him be. No. See, here's the thing. I'm not the good shepherd. Thank you, Jesus, that you are. He leaves the 99. And he goes out and he says, you know what, I got to find this one. I'm wondering, who's the lost sheep in your world? Who's the one? Maybe it's that coworker that is having a hard time. Maybe it's that family member that is just not serving Jesus. Maybe it's that person that just got a report from the doctor. And their world shattered because they don't know what to do. Who's that one person that God has put in your life and says, man, you got to leave everything else for just a minute because that person is way more important than everything else right now? See, Jesus said that we are to go and make disciples of all nations. He says we got to get out there and show the love of Christ to everyone. See, here's the thing that concerns me more than anything else, folks. Now listen, here's what concerns me. I have neighbors, I have family members, I have people in my life. I know today that if Christ were to come back right now, they wouldn't be going with him. I know that they will be spending eternity. Now think of it. Think of eternity. Everlasting, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever in hell. Let that sink in when you look at that person, that one, that maybe they just, you think, let the wolves get them. They will be spending eternity without Christ. See, God, here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God doesn't want them there, let me tell you. He doesn't want him in hell. He says here, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I like that. He's patient with you. See, God is about individuals, isn't he? He is about one person. And you know, this really hit me hard, even as I was preparing this sermon. And I was thinking back of what happened back in April 14th of 2014. April 14th of 2014 was when the Boko Haram, I'm probably saying it bad, they took the Chibok schoolgirls, 276 schoolgirls. That was a picture I threw up there. Oh, I have it right here. Look at there. When they took all of these schoolgirls and took them captive, 276 of them, and forced them into slavery and forced them to marry their soldiers. But you know, when you look at that picture, and this is just a small portion of them, these aren't just a group of people. These are individual girls. These are girls, young girls with aspirations, with hopes, with dreams. Girls, well, with terror, actually, after this situation. Let me introduce you to one of them. Her name is Selamatu. I think I pronounced that right. If I don't, I'm sorry. Selamatu Umar. Selamatu Umar was one of the girls that were taken, and she was only 15 years old at the time, and she was forced to marry one of the Boko Haram fighters. And what happened was, she was with them, and she one day, her and another friend, they went out into the bush to get firewood, and they escaped. They got away, but she was pregnant at the time. Selamatu today is 21 years old. Her son's name is Usman. He is 4. She survived the hell of being in that environment, and she was put into an internally displaced camp, IDP camp. And as she was in that camp, she was free, sort of. But the people there called her many, many ugly things. Boko Haram, you're a wife of a killer. Your son is a son of a killer. And they belittled her and still do. You know, God loves that woman, that young 21-year-old woman. God loves her little baby, Usman. Can I stretch you a little bit? God loves her killer husband. And he died, Christ died, for every one of them. I'm wondering, which individual will you pursue with love this year? You may not run into a Selamatu But you may run into someone that is going through incredible, incredible challenges and does not know which way to go. And you may be the only one who says God loves you in spite of what everybody else says, what everybody else thinks, what you've gone through. There is hope. There is hope for you. There is hope for your future. You know what my 2020 vision is, folks? My 2020 vision is that we all would see the one. That we would see the one. That we would say, God, show me how I can impact the one. Because if we could start with one this year and say, God, please, please use me in reaching the one. Then maybe God will give us two, and maybe five, maybe 10. But even if he just gives us one, if we can change one life for the kingdom of God, man, this year is worth it. Are you hearing me? If we can make a difference in one person this year, then boy, it's worth it. What's their purpose? I want to end with this. What's the purpose of the 2020 vision? Why are we talking about becoming a healthier church? What's the deal? Well, I hope it lines up with the purpose that Christ had. Do you know what Christ's purpose was on this planet? It's actually not that difficult when you look at the main reason that Jesus was put on this planet. He actually says it in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. He says, for the Son of Man came what? To seek and to save that which was lost. Folks, if that could be our purpose this year, if that could be the reason we want to be healthy, is that we can go out and seek and to save what is lost, then we're on the right track. Are you hearing me? Then we do have 2020 vision. Then we're seeing it clearly, because that's Christ's vision, is to be out there and to love those, whoever it may be, right next door to us or across the planet. And folks, I want to encourage you. In the next weeks, I'm gonna challenge you how we can accomplish this. I'm going to start opening it. We're going to start unpackaging some of areas in which you can be involved in and being healthier and reaching people and becoming stronger in yourself. And next week we're going to talk about a group that is targeted by the enemy more than any other group alive today. They are targeted. God has got a very special place in his heart for this group. And boy, the enemy wants to destroy them. He is doing everything he can. And I'm going to challenge you. Next week's going to be different. Prepare yourself. We're doing something a little bit different next week. But I tell you, if we can get the heart of Christ, and if we can see how we can be healthier in reaching this group, I'm looking forward to incredible things this year. I want to end today by doing something super, super important. See, we're here together as family. All of us part of one big family. And Jesus, he implemented something we call a sacrament. It is something that he implemented to say, listen, as a family, let's do this together. Let's make this a unifying type of thing that we do together. And we call it communion. And it's super important, because not only because of what Jesus said it's important, but it becomes something we do as a family together. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, can I encourage you with all that's in me to make this the day that you say, God, I need you in my life. I need you in my life. I want to be part of this family. And then as we partake of communion, that you say, I am so glad I can be part of this family, and we enjoy it together. Father, you're a good God, a faithful, loving, caring God. And you've given us an opportunity to flourish where you've planted us. Help us to flourish and bear much fruit this year. Help us to be healthy, God, to truly make an impact for the kingdom. And Lord, as we enter into now this time of reflection of what Jesus did for us, and as we celebrate this time of communion, Spirit of God, we invite you into this time, and we ask you, oh Lord, help us as we partake that it wouldn't just be a cup or a wafer, but it would be a symbol of your love for us. And Lord, let it fill our lives and let us express that love towards others. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to